All right, so for those of you that weren't here yesterday, the reason there's a cut by my eye is because I got mugged on the way to church by a door frame, which hit me in the eye about 5 minutes before I started teaching. So I was bleeding from the eye while teaching, which was certainly an interesting experience for me. Yeah, me, whether it's a glass see-through door or whether it's a, door frame, neither one worked for me, and it led to blood on my face. So my sister passed on a website to me yesterday, a pretty good website, called Date to Save. It says a hot girl that uses her hotness to lead people to Jesus. And she came up with some good rules to know how you can date to save some guys. So the first one, this is stuff she said, it's kind of like if a situation happens, she tells you what to do. So for example, if he tells you that you're hot, you should respond, tell him God made you that way. And so there's a good one. Here's another one. If he tries to get closer to you and sneak the arm around you, tell him the Holy Spirit is wooing him. So these are good ones. Here's one. If he reaches his arm around you, tell him that no one will ever be closer to you than Jesus. Yeah. If he tries to kiss you, this one's my favorite. If he tries to kiss you, tell him you're not ready to speak in tongues. Yeah. If he tells you he loves you, tell him that Jesus loves him. No matter what happens, you got to point it back to Jesus. And this is my other favorite. After you dump him, because you're just dating these guys to get him saved. After you dump him, tell him that Jesus will never leave him or forsake him. So, yeah, just like you did. So there's some good dating advice if you want to start evangedating, in case you want to abandon the stuff we talked about earlier. But date to save, lots of great, great, great Christian advice on how to evangedate. On second thought, probably want to ignore that website. So with that, we're going to continue on into week two of She's the One, looking at what does a godly woman look like, what should guys be looking for, what should you girls be aiming to be. And with that, like I said last week, this isn't to beat you girls up and make you feel bad, though it is supposed to do that. It's supposed to give you a target. It's supposed to give you a target that you're aiming for. Likewise, guys, you shouldn't expect perfection, and you shouldn't go, well, she doesn't have all these figured out, so she's not dateable. I need to find a perfect girl, in which case you're never going to find it because a perfect girl doesn't exist. You want something that's working in each of these areas. So with that, we're just going to dive straight into this deal. The first one on our list, continuing through Titus 2, it's in your handout, we'll put it up on the screen, says Titus 2, to be self-controlled. The older women are supposed to teach girls to be self-controlled. And the literal meaning of that, it means to save one's mind. So the idea of this mind that's controlled, it's not out of control. So here's the idea. It's the idea of someone that lives a controlled life, that they're not overindulging in anything. They aren't out and overindulging in partying, drinking, eating, obsession with romance novels or the book Twilight. Jennifer, they aren't obsessed with love. They aren't completely obsessed with using the internet, texting. I mean, there's no overindulgence. That's the idea, it's a controlled life. So some of the, if you want to get the idea of what this is talking about, of someone that doesn't have this, you would look at an example of a Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears with her infamous two-day marriage. You know, that's probably not the person you're looking for, someone that's so out of control she would marry a guy and go, oops, didn't mean to do that. I guess got to get that divorced 2 days later. Not the right idea. But, I mean, that's an extreme example, but there's a lot of girls that are in love with being in love. There's a lot of guys that are in love with being in love. But you don't want someone that's just completely has to have a boyfriend, has to have a girlfriend, doesn't matter who it is, they're just in love with being in love, and I have to have those feelings all the time, and I could never be alone, I gotta find someone. So that idea that they're just so obsessed with being in love, that would be someone that doesn't have control. And to continue on, and what exactly does this look like? So, they're we'll give you a picture of it, someone that doesn't have to go to a party just because they're invited. Someone that doesn't have to say yes to a guy just because they were asked. Someone that knows how to say no to things and use godly wisdom in discerning what is right. It's the idea of someone that has self-control, makes wise choices. It's not just whatever's happening, whatever seems the most fun at the moment. Well, I guess I'll go to the party. Oh, I guess I'll get drunk. I guess I'll go out with this guy. It's someone that has discernment that says, this is not a good idea. This is a good idea. Uses wisdom, godly wisdom. So the test, does she make wise decisions in regard to small things? Because it's pretty easy to make wise decisions in terms of large things. You know, I've never killed anybody. That's a pretty easy decision on my part. I'm not going to, yeah, thanks, thank you. At least one of you appreciate the fact I've never killed anybody. So, I mean, you want someone that's not doing something, making bad decisions on big things, but it's the small things. I mean, going to one party you're not supposed to isn't all that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things. But the difference between someone that makes wise decisions and makes poor decisions is someone that can look at something even small like that and say, you know, this could set me down the wrong path. So makes wise decisions in regard to small things. The next one on the list, the next word on there, says pure. Pure, and you say, oh, pure, that's, you probably don't want to go up to a girl when you go on a date and say, are you pure? Are you pure? When was the last time you had like a blood test done? Because I don't want to date anybody that's got any weird diseases or anything. Probably not the best idea, and not quite the idea that I'm going for with this one. The idea of purity is like a holistic purity. I mean, part of it is sexual purity, but it's pure motives, pure decision making, someone that's not manipulative, not conniving, someone that doesn't always have to get their way. Some people, just no matter what, they will manipulate people, trick people to get what they want. That's not the person you want. So I'm going to kind of go through some of these point by point to say what it looks like. So sexual purity, obviously you don't want the girl that's sleeping around. And if you're dating her just because she does sleep around, then we need to talk out back and it's not going to be nice for you. But so you don't want the girl that's sleeping around, or kind of like last week, what if the girl's used to be a slut question? Well, if she's just came out of that, probably want to wait until she's got a better reputation. Give her time to grow in Christ. She doesn't need a boyfriend right now. Give it time. But beyond that, you want someone that has standards, has morals, and we'll talk about some of those soon. The next one on here has pure motives. Pure motives. This isn't a person... We run out of chairs. Oh, there's two up front. Yeah. You get the bulk of my yelling right up front there. Yeah, for my talk about girls, I probably shouldn't say that. Pure motives. This is someone that doesn't do things just to manipulate people. Someone that can hear the word no, and that's okay. I mean, like I think I mentioned last week, we had a dog abandoned at our house, this little puppy. It's a pit bull, and it is the most selfish dog I have ever met. I mean, it absolutely has to have everything what anybody has. If I'm eating chips, it wants chips. And if one of the other dogs has a bone, it starts barking at it to get the bone, even if it gets bit in the face for it, which happens a lot. This little doggy has to always have what it wants. So whatever it takes, whether it's being sweet, it'll cuddle up next to you. Actually, all my dogs do that trick. You're eating something, so they snuggle up next to you like they're your best friend, hop up in your lap with a big grin on their face, just trying to be so sweet so that they can get what you have. It's just completely impure motives. Well, that's dogs. Some people are like that too. Back when Jennifer was in South Carolina in Bible college, she was friends with this one guy. She was real good friends with him. And all of a sudden, this girl comes along and becomes her best friend. Follows her around. Hey, Jennifer, yeah, you're so cool. Where'd you get that shirt? Really, I should get one too. Except we could be Twinkies. We could look the same. It'd be amazing. The two of us, we could look the same as one another. And sit by her at lunch. And yeah, I mean, I just wish I could hang out with you and your friends more. Yeah, I would. I would love to hang out with you. And so all of a sudden, this girl's her best friend. So then she starts hanging out with her and her friends, specifically this one guy. And then all of a sudden, it's slowly, there's a transition from, Jennifer, you're so great, to, hey, you're so great, to the guy. And then after a couple of weeks of that, all of a sudden, Jennifer's no longer even in the picture, except to occasionally make comments on Facebook pictures. Besides that, this girl transitions from being, you really just use Jennifer to meet this guy. And then it worked because now they're married and have a kid. But I mean, so yeah, Jennifer, you did your job well there. Good job. But so, I mean, this was a girl that, in a very real sense, had completely impure motives trying to meet a guy, used Jennifer for friendship, and Jennifer picked up on it real quick and was like, I think something's fishy with these two. They start dating, get engaged, get married, have a kid now, which is a real disturbing deal because they put the video on the internet. Lots of videos, and it's sick stuff.
What, marriage?
No, her giving birth. It's all over the internet.
You don't want to see the birth.
Like Jennifer's sitting there with her friend, like watching this deal, and you just hear these noises and like and screaming. And Jennifer, why are you watching this? I'm like, oh, they've got a second angle. Oh, it's a boy! Yeah, that stuff's sick. Anyway, you flip slides, next one here. Proverbs 5 says, for the lips of an adulteress, lips of an adulteress drip honey. Her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end she is bitter as gall, a double-edged sword. The Bible does not have the nicest words to say for a conniving girl that's just trying to manipulate people. In fact, it says it's a double-edged sword, which are good for killing people. I mean, I know from experience.
You said earlier you hadn't killed anyone.
Caught in a lie, but which one is a lie? the idea of it says it's a double-edged sword, so I mean, it's just painful, can cause damage. These people that are just impure manipulate people. And so you want to avoid a girl that does anything like that. There's a whole movie made about this like 5 years ago called Mean Girls, and it's just all about a bunch of girls that hang out together, and whenever they're around each other, they're real sweet to each other, best friends, and as soon as they're gone, they're backstabbing, and it just turns into this big catastrophe and manipulative people and not good stuff. But you don't want a girl like that. And just one other thing in there is, you know, if she'll gossip to you about somebody and talk about, oh man, this girl's so messed up, blah, 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 that whole deal. She'll gossip to you. She will gossip about you. And that applies to guys too. But so you want to avoid that. Next one on here. Pure girl is what I actually wrote in my notes. Pure girl doesn't use her body to get what she wants. So it's the issue of modesty. And in our culture, I mean, this sort of thing is like highly encouraged. Yeah, girls, use your sexuality to get what you want. To give you girls a hint, it works, using your body to manipulate guys. It works because we're stupid and shallow. But don't do that. I was at Walmart. Jennifer and I were at Walmart sometime like a month ago at midnight. And I don't know what happened, but it was like the trashiest people in the entire state of Texas showed up at Walmart at midnight, and she's just walking around, big girls, small girls, young girls, old girls, all of them wearing like these V-neck things with everything hanging out. It was weird and uncomfortable because it was Walmart. It was like, what is going on here that people are just coming out like this at Walmart? Made me feel very uncomfortable. But, you don't want a girl that uses her body to get what she wants and manipulates people. You want a girl who is modest. I put some verses up here, I think. Put some verses up here. Oh, next one. Or, no. Actually, maybe I didn't put them up there. It's in your handout. 1 Timothy 2. I also want women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. That simple idea of, hey, it's not all about what you look like. 1 Peter 2, 3, 3-4 says, your beauty should not come from outward adornment such as braided hair and wearing of gold jewelry, fine clothes. Instead, it should be with your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle, quiet spirit, which is great worth in God's sight. I mean, you've heard it all before. You need a girl that has inner beauty, not outer beauty. But that just can't be stressed enough. The focus should not be on the outside. And it's not that it's bad to look good. I try and do nice fancy things with my hair. I wore a snazzy vest yesterday to church. I mean, it's not that you have to look ugly and just like you walked out of bed all the time. But if that's where all your focus is on looking good on the outside, something is wrong. I mean, I read an article about Pamela Anderson. She was a Playboy model 15 years ago. And for the last 15 years, she's basically been famous for being famous. I mean, she's done absolutely nothing of anything in 15 years, but she's still all over the news, all over the tabloids. And I read this article, and basically it says anywhere that she goes to do a publicity, anything, she has in her contract that she has the right to delete any pictures of herself she doesn't like. So every photographer on site has to go by her and she approves which pictures they can keep and she deletes the rest. That is just how vain she is. Like, why I couldn't ever let a picture of me without my makeup or in bad lighting or a bad angle or maybe I'm pale in it. I could never let a picture like that get out. I have to look perfect in every single picture. And to the extent that in her contract, she won't go anywhere if they don't agree to that. That's the sort of person you don't want. Someone that absolutely has to look perfect all the time. There's no option of, I'm going to the grocery store without makeup on. Now I'm going to the grocery store, I better throw some makeup on and I better find, better iron my shirt and everything. Yeah, has a contract with the grocery store. She won't shop there unless they, no. So that's a problem. One more verse. I don't think I put it in your handout. Proverbs 7:10 should be on the screen. Yeah, oh, it's already up there. Wow, this is, you guys are sneaking ahead, getting sneak peeks. Some very kind words from the Bible. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute with crafty intent. So, yeah, nice kind words. You don't want the girl dressed like a prostitute because she's trying to manipulate you. Girls, you don't want to be the prostitute trying to manipulate guys. I had a friend of mine, I better not say her name because she'd probably be embarrassed. She was trying to get a job recently and she saw this new restaurant was opening up called the Tilted Kilt. Goes in, never been there, never heard of the place, goes in, walks up to the guy, hey, I'm interested in like applying for the job. And he stares at her and kind of goes, looks her up and down, like very obviously checking her out and seeing if she's curvy enough. And she's like, that was weird. And she gets this weird feeling, but he hands her an application and goes, yeah, I think you'll do. Come back today around 3 o'clock and we can continue the interview. I mean, it was before the store opened or anything. So she leaves, comes back at 3. Not sure what to expect, walks in the door, and it's all these girls with like, well, I'll show you, it was like their shirts are kind of, oh, was that not supposed to do that? Was that embarrassing for you? Oh, but so, I mean, shirts tied up, tight shirts, short kilt things, I mean, and all girls using their bodies, dressed like prostitutes to manipulate men. She goes in there and goes, oh, I see, and promptly tears up her application and leaves. So she did not realize it was one of these Hooters type restaurants. But I mean, that whole kind of genre of food establishments, Hooters, Twin Peaks, the Tilted Kilt, Bone Daddies, they exist for the purpose of guys who I guess are foolish, getting manipulated by girls and kind of, well, I get to enjoy the show while I'm there eating my chicken wings. I mean, it's girls dressed like prostitutes trying to manipulate men. And I've met guys that really believed that the girls that were their waitress like were really into them. mean, I've had conversations with guys. No, you don't understand. Like, she really likes me. She really gets along with me. And she's my friend. I mean, she added me as a friend on MySpace. Like, dude. Let me guess. You give her good tips, don't you? Yeah, because she's my friend. I want to help my friend out, so I give my friend good tips. And when you give her good tips, she spends more time around your table. Yeah, she does. You're not putting this together? You're not seeing how this works? But it's a girl dressed like a prostitute with crafty intent. And I don't mean that as a sound as judgmental towards the individuals, though I kind of am. But that's not what you want. You don't want someone that uses their body to get what they want. You don't want someone that manipulates people to get what they want. You want someone that dresses modestly. The quality, content with what you have, not manipulative with word, action, or body. Word, action, or body. This isn't someone that does the deal where you tell one thing to one person, you kind of get this other person to say something to this other person, through a roundabout way you get what you want. Doesn't do that. Pure motives. And so the test, does she use her body, emotions, surroundings to get what she wants? You don't want that. Next one on here. Busy at home. Busy at home, or I think in the passage it says working at home. So either one of those, busy at home, working at home, depending on your translation. And where this comes from, it literally translates workers at home. Girls have a strong tendency towards the home. Their identity is found in the home. And this is another one of those things that kind of where I talked about last week. When you talk about women being submissive to their husbands, that's frowned upon. And when you say that, you know, women need to work at home, people get the wrong idea and they think, well, women need to stay in the kitchen and, you know, why would you ever need a clock anywhere other than the oven? Because, you know, why would a woman ever leave the kitchen? There is reason, because they should go to the bedroom as well. And so two clocks in the house. That's what, I mean, you get that idea in your head when you, this is a humor joke. That wasn't my, like, personal view of women. Gonna get me stoned to death. But that's not the idea. That chauvinistic, well, women don't have a purpose. They just help around the house and they're good for raising kids and cleaning the house and making man food. Men want food. No, that's not the idea. I mean, in Genesis 2:8, it says, "Then the Lord said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.'" And I was talking about woman, or women. And the idea there is people hear that and they just get this idea that, well, we're degrading women, we're holding them back, no ambition. And the problem is that word there for helper is used for God. The word helper, talking about will make woman, make man a helper, that's used of God. It isn't a degrading term. It's not like, let's suppress women and hold them down because they're useless. No, I mean, the term is used of God. And if it's a term used of God, it's not a bad thing. It's just in our culture where we just have this, everybody, you want to try and one-up other people. We care about money. We care about success. When you talk about someone working at home, all of a sudden you're being degrading. We'll be a helper. No, I want to be the master. I want to be the one telling people what to do. I've got to have control. That's our culture. That's the world we live in. And that's a twisted view of the things. It's not that people that help others are less. It's different roles. Different roles. So with that, exactly does this look like? This looks like a girl who serves at home, at church, at school, or anywhere else. When no one is looking, there's no immediate benefit to serving. So it's easy to serve when people are watching and give you praise for it. It's a lot more difficult to serve when no one's watching. And someone that will serve when no one's watching is someone that will serve at the home, in the home. If you only do serve when you're being watched, that's not a servant's heart. That's trying to get credit for being a servant. A servant is someone that does it when they don't get credit for it. And I mean, I think I have a verse up there called Proverbs 31. It says, "A woman, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness." I've mentioned before, guys and girls are kind of wired differently. And you don't really get this until you get married and you're around a girl a lot. And this whole thing, I mean, I talk about this. Well, some people, you know, holding back women. And the thing is that Jennifer as compared to me, likes doing stuff around the house. I thought that this was just chauvinism. No, we got married. We start talking about buying a house, and she's like, "Well, this looks nice, and well, I could paint this wall, and Mom, will you help me paint the walls? And what color do you think would go well with this?" And we would move into the house, and she goes out and buys a bunch of fixtures and mantles that don't do anything except look pretty. And she sets this stuff up and puts like a mantle, or in our apartment, she built a mantle over our fireplace that couldn't hold anything. If you put a picture on it, it would fall down and there'd be holes in the wall. But it looked pretty. She wanted a house that looked pretty. Now, I had an apartment with some friends of mine back 4 years ago. We didn't vacuum once, and none of us cared. I mean, just why would you vacuum? It's a waste of time. We can do work or have fun during that time. Jennifer's like, "We can't get more dogs. It'd be dirty. We don't want that." I mean, she worries about things like that. I mean, at home, most of our disagreements are either about laundry or cleaning the house. I mean, right now she's talking about, the house is too cluttered. We need to clear some of this stuff out of here. There's too many boxes. Go through our stuff and clear room out. Get rid of this junk so the house can look pretty. I don't care if the house looks ugly if it functions. I mean, if it gets dirty and I can't feel comfortable, there's a problem. But if as long as I'm comfortable, I don't care if there's hairballs all around me, dirt in the carpet, it's bright red from fruit punch I spilled. No, it's bright red because Doggy Bo picked up a bowl of salsa and ate it from the...
Sweet and sour sauce.
Ate a bowl of sweet and sour sauce, so it spilled across the carpet. I don't care. As long as the carpet isn't crusty. But see, I mean, I was like, when we were moving into the house, Jennifer literally was like, "Hey, can I take a week to paint the house?" And I thought that was the most insane thing I'd ever heard in my entire life. I want to move in, I got a house for the first time in my life that's mine. I want to get in there. And she's like, "No, let's paint for a week." No, that's crazy. And so we compromised and she got two rooms she could paint. Actually, was it three rooms. She got three rooms she was allowed to paint. She cared about that sort of thing because she's wired to work at the house. I don't care about it. I enjoy writing talks, playing in bands, doing work stuff, planning big events. I mean, that's what I get pumped about, doing work outside of the house. She cares about work in the house. I mean, she has a job. She enjoys her job, but that's not what's like, "Man, this is awesome." She's like, "Man, this is awesome. I got to paint the house and I'm going to put a..." Oh, yeah, the other thing we're debating is buying a table for our living room. Yeah, so she's all pumped about this and I don't... What are we going to use a table in the living room for? We always eat up in the... We eat in the media room sitting on the floor with the hairballs and the dirt. Why would you want a table? What for? The projector isn't in that room, so that would be silly. So we're wired differently. She's wired in a way that's what she gets pumped about. I'm wired in a way that's completely like insane to me. Why would you spend money on a mantle that can't hold anything? Why would you buy weird light fixture things?
No.
What I did? Yes. Oh my goodness! What was I thinking? See, I was encouraging that kind of behavior. So we're wired differently, and with that, like I said, you want someone that can serve without getting recognition. Every Friday at this church, at the Pflugerville Church, a group of little old ladies show up to stuff bulletins, like the least fun job there is. Nobody gives you credit for it. Nobody knows you do it. But these little old ladies every single week show up and just sit there for like 2-3 hours going like this. Stuffing bulletins. And if we tell them to change the time, we have to move it, we get delayed. Whenever we say, they show up to stuff bulletins because they have servants' hearts. They don't need to get credit for it. They just want to help other people. That's the kind of attitude that you girls need to foster in yourselves. Likewise, guys, that's the kind of attitude you want to find, is someone that doesn't have to get credit for all their work. They don't have to be in the spotlight. They don't have to be the hero. Someone willing to serve when they don't get any credit for it. So the test, as I've already said, does she serve others when no one is around? So the last one we're going to look at on here, it's the final word, and it says kind. So we spent 2 weeks talking about what makes for a godly woman. We've talked about all these traits. We kind of built this up, and it seems a little bit anticlimactic. Kind. Or other, in the King James, it says good. So that seems obvious. Yeah, I mean, I would like a good girl. I don't want a bad girl. So it seems anticlimactic, but it also sums up the passage. It kind of ties puts a bookend on it, summarizes everything. You want someone that has well-rounded, balanced character. Someone that's not good in one area, not just a couple areas, but someone that's well-rounded, all around, a good, gentle spirit, a person that's pleasant to be around because they're not mean and selfish. That's what you want. Proverbs 31, verse 20 says, "She opens her arms into the poor and extends her hands to the needy." It's the idea of someone that serves others, cares about others, is sensitive to the needs of others. Lori Merritt, I've known her going back, 15 years. We both went to Northwest. And so I've kind of seen her throughout the years and heard many stories about her. I mean, I wasn't like best friends with her or anything back in the day, but heard stories about her from like Bobby Pruitt and things like this. And back in the early days of Northwest, when there was just tons and tons of visitors showing up all the time, she was one of the people that was spearheading meeting visitors, just being friendly. And she's not the most outgoing, I got to get out there sort of person. But she just cared about people, was well-rounded character that she would go out and meet visitors. Another story I heard about her from Bobby was that she had a boyfriend once, and the guy called her up and was like, "Hey, I want to talk. Let's talk on the phone." And she's like, "Hey, what you talk here in your quiet time this morning?" And she goes, or he goes, "Well, I haven't had a quiet time yet." She goes, "Oh, great. Well, I'm not in any rush. Go ahead and call me back in about 30 minutes, and we can talk about what you had in your quiet time." That was just her mindset of just wanted a guy that loved Jesus and was just so well-rounded. That when someone calls and or when her boyfriend calls and says, "Hey, let's talk," she wanted to talk about his quiet time, and was more cared more about that than she did about just whatever was pleasurable at the moment to her. That's well-rounded character, someone that loves Jesus, cares about others, in a way that it's acted out. It's not just talk, but it's the real deal. So with that, I'm going to close out with some random proverbs. This is what's interesting about, like I said, the Bible is a lot more intense than we often give it credit for. We think the Bible is rated G and it's rated R. It's completely not at all rated G. And the stuff when we kind of water down the Bible, we're cheating it of God, what it really is. The Bible is a historic document and people are messed up and it records a bunch of messed up people. The Bible doesn't water down what marriage is. It speaks quite frankly about sex in the Song of Solomon. There are passages about a guy's intestines falling out. So here's some pretty nice proverbs. Proverbs 25:24. "Better to live on a corner of a roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife." So you're talking about a well-balanced woman, not someone that's quarreling with you, picking fights with you. No matter what you say, they got to nag. The Bible says it's better to just go ahead and get up on your roof, sit on the corner until you die, than go inside and hang out with a quarreling wife. Next one, Proverbs 19:13. "A foolish son is his father's ruin. A quarrelsome wife is like constant dripping." In China, supposedly in China, they have something called water torture where they tie you down and drip water on you until you go crazy. And that's what the Bible, God's Word, God's inspired Word, compares a quarrelsome wife, a nagging wife, to having water dripping constantly. That's what the Bible compares it to. Not exactly PG stuff, not exactly G. I mean, it just kind of speaks frankly. You know what? You don't want a wife like that because it'll drive you insane. So as we kind of finish out our 2 weeks on talking about what a godly woman looks like, it does sum it up nicely to say, you want a girl that's good and kind, well-balanced, overall character, someone that's selfless, someone that cares about you, cares about others, someone that doesn't have to be in the spotlight, isn't manipulating people, someone that lives a controlled life. They aren't overindulging, they aren't the crazy party, and they have no control of their life. I heard a news story this past week about a 12-year-old girl, and this is in Canada. Her dad told her she couldn't go on a trip, a school trip that wasn't mandatory, because she'd been going on some website. He told her, do not go on this website. It was like a dating website, and she was 12 years old. And he's like, don't go there. That's messed up. You're way too young to be on dating websites. And she went there anyway, so he bans her from this field trip, and she responded by suing her dad for permission to go on a field trip. And obviously her mother helped her do this. Her parents are divorced, and her mother took her to get a lawyer, took her to sue her dad so she could go on a field trip. So there's two sides to that. It was a selfish girl that had to get her way. You know, I will ruin my relationship with my father forever so I can go on this field trip. That's what I want. And her mother wants her daughter to love her and hate her dad, so she manipulates the situation to something so absurd as suing her dad to go on a field trip. She got grounded and said, I don't want to be grounded, I'll sue my dad. Completely out of control. The daughter and the mother. That's not well-rounded character. That's not pure motives. That's not self-control. That's not a kind, good spirit. That's what you want. Someone that cares about people, loving servant. Look at the way they treat their parents. That's what a godly woman looks like. Someone that cares, loves their parents. Self-controlled, pure motives. So I'm going to pray, and then Joel's going to come up and do one song for you guys while we get our Q&A together. And then, yeah, we'll do Q&A and sing another song. So, let's pray. Dear Lord, as we go through this list, help the girls not be discouraged about areas they're maybe not all that strong. Help them to turn to you and strengthen them in those areas where they're weak. Help the guys to focus in properly on how to seek a godly woman and not look in all the wrong places and not ignore this stuff, but really take it seriously and say, you know, I don't want a quarrelsome wife that's going to be like a dripping drip on my head. I don't want that. I want a godly woman that serves me and helps me and loves you. In your name we pray. Amen.